Hello and welcome to Into the Wild, the podcast that brings you wildlife facts, conservation updates and nature stories from the professionals to you. I cannot tell you how good it was to finally get out my house and record an episode on location. And even better, it was at a green space I know very well, as it's 10 minutes from my house and where I walk my daycare dogs, and that's Hampstead Heath. I met with Joe and Rory from Heath Hands, a conservation and community organisation that assist heath ecologists and rangers along with a team of volunteers to manage an area like Hampstead Heath. From the easy tasks like picking up litter to the more complex things like wildlife surveys, this team really do it all. Thanks so much for tuning in and enjoy the show. Hello, I am rather excited to be outside recording an episode for the first time in what seems my entire life, but that's not the case. I'm up here at a park that I know very well, which is Hampstead Heath, and I'm here joined by two people today that work for a conservation organisation up here called Heath Hands, and we're going to be talking about different managements of the heathland up here and what they do, but I will not explain what their job is. They're going to do that for me. Rory and Joe, thank you very much for joining me on Into the Wild. Rory, how are you?
Yeah, thank you for having us on. Very, very well, thanks. Just on a session up in Whitestone Garden. It's very productive. Must have a bit of wildlife gardening in the morning.
Yeah, that sounds like a perfect morning. And Joe, thank you very much for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks Ryan. Thanks
no
for
worries.
Having me.
So let's start, and I'll ask you one at a time first. So Rory, we'll start with you. Do you want to say who you are and what is it you do up here?
Yep, so I'm Rory. I work for Heath Hands as a lofty title project assistant, which means I'm involved in lots of different things, the aspects of things that we do. Mainly my duties are looking after the wildlife monitor volunteers, mm-hmm. who go out and survey some of the special species on the heath, and I've also been helping out with our wildlife interpreters who help to engage the public when
nice.
They come onto the heath with the environment here and the wildlife here.
Amazing. And there was a moment when we first met a minute ago, and I'm going to say this for the listeners because I just want to, it's almost like I want to point out the elephant in the room. I called Hampstead Heath a park and you stopped me. Now, why did you stop me
yes.
there?
Yes. Stopped you there because it's not a park. So Hampstead Heath, we call it the Heath. It was once common land and now it is designated as an area for the people, but it is not, strictly speaking, a London park.
Nice. Okay. I liked it when you stopped me because I was like, okay, cool. I think I've called it a park all my life. So now I'm absolutely not going to do that. Joe, yourself, would you like to explain who you are and what is it you do?
My name's Joe and I'm Heath Hands Assistant Ranger. It's a new post created about a year ago, but I've been with Heath Hands for about 6 years now and
wow.
doing just as a volunteer. Mm-hmm. So I've done wildlife interpretation, conservation sessions, wildlife monitoring. I've sat on the trustee committee. Mm. And yeah, when the job came up last year, I thought, wow, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be 12 weeks and it's almost 12 months now.
So it's just meant to be a 12-week position?
It was like a trainee position because I used to be a journalist.
Wow.
And I decided on a career change. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, a great career change as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that must be really cool from going what you do as a volunteer and then taking it into a permanent role.
Yeah.
Yeah, that must have been great.
It's really great because I already knew quite a lot of the volunteers.
Mm.
So it's just an extension of that, really.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's quite natural to sort of work in a team and just try and educate people about Heath and what we're doing and why. So yeah.
That's great. And let's talk a bit about Heath Hands, because this is the organisation you both work for. Rory, do you want to tell us a bit about what Heath Hands are and what they do as an organisation?
So Heath Hands, we call ourselves a conservation organisation, but really we're about both conservation and the community around the heath. So as Joe has mentioned, the backbone of our organisation is really doing conservation work on the heath. And we're in collaboration with the City of London, who are the managers,
yeah.
and also English Heritage, who manage the Kenwood Estate, which mm-hmm. is part of the Heath. And we're essentially we provide the boots on the ground, the volunteer workforce to do lots of the jobs for managing the habitats here and managing the garden areas. But as well as that, we have some scientific wildlife monitoring, which we do for the Heath's ecologist. And we also try, as I said, engage the local community with the outdoor spaces and wildlife on the Heath. And we think that's equally important, really, because we're in London, you've got Camden on side, you've also got wealthier parts such as Highgate and Hampstead. You've got some more, slightly more deprived areas as well, like Gospel Oak. And we try and bring as many people from all different backgrounds onto the Heath for different activities and ways that they can engage with the natural space. Because it might seem odd to us three, that people might not feel welcome
Absolutely,
in a green space, but actually some people, they do feel like they don't have, they're not enabled to enjoy the green space as we would. So we try and engage people and bring them onto the Heath with some activities so they can learn it's for everyone.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. And I've never considered that with Hampstead Heath being in that area. You kind of think of it being in that affluent area, but actually it does border quite a few areas of London that are completely different and diverse as well. And that's a really good point to get people up here and say it's welcome for everyone. So one word we've used a lot there is managed, from different things we're managing up at the Heath. But why is an area like Hampstead Heath managed and not left to its own devices, Rory?
Well, yeah, that's a really good question, because what Hampstead Heath is often regarded as is a slice of countryside in inner city London, but it does have to be managed with human intervention. Obviously, it's not great for podcasting, but if you look around now, we are surrounded by trees.
Yeah.
And Hampstead Heath was once an actual heathland with heather and gorse. So it was used as common land, and there was grazing here up until about the 1920s, and then that ceased. So then you have a succession of habitats coming in. You have scrub coming in, brambles and young shrubs. And essentially, if we left the whole heath to its own devices, it would all become oak woodland. And there's not really a problem in having oak woodlands. It's fantastic habitat for great diversity of wildlife, but actually what we want is that mix of open and wooded habitats, so that a greater diversity of wildlife can thrive on the heath.
And I guess heathlands isn't something, I mean, and please correct me if I'm wrong here, that we get a lot down south anyway, especially around London. So I guess we want to protect heathland to what it once used to be.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of sandy heathland on the south coast, but as you get further towards London, there's more of a lack of it. And actually, if you walk around Hampstead Heath, you'll notice that there is a lack of actual heathland on the heath. It's mostly acid grasslands, which itself is a declining habitat, and woodland. But going back into what talk about managing the heath, it's not just maintaining what we've got, but we work together with the City of London to actually restore areas of natural heathland to Hampstead Heath. And it's been really nice this year. We've had blooming heathers.
Yeah.
And we're seeing, the gorse. Gorse that we planted as very young bushes actually maturing and forming what looks more like natural heathland.
That's amazing. That's really cool. And what, for you, I guess, and this might be more of a personal question, but what are some of the most iconic parts of Hampstead Heath for you in regards to nature? Do you have a favourite part of it?
My favourite parts of it are really, because I'm in a privileged position, Joe, as well, that we both get to go into the private areas on the heath, like the bird sanctuary. Yeah, so there's some areas which are fenced off purely for their wildlife value. And I'm a bugs man, basically. So I love all the invertebrates, and you get lots of different habitats within these private areas. They're nice and quiet, and you can spend some time enjoying the insects.
That's cool. And Joe, what about yourself? You must have a favourite part of Hampstead Heath that you love. Is it the same answer with the private parts?
The closed off bits from the general public. You know, they are just wildlife havens. And if I go in there with a camera, and especially if I'm with Rory, you know, a job that'll take maybe about 10 minutes. We can be in there an hour, can't we? Really? Just grubbing around. Oh, what's this? It's fantastic.
Oh, we'll use the photos of social media and the newsletter.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's how you say you're using your time. We're getting the social media pictures, people.
Our boss is always going, don't get distracted.
But how can you not? That's the thing. Yeah. If you're in a private area, and you must... Do you have a favourite animal? Like, Rory's into the bugs. Do you have something you love to see?
I love the bugs. I love the rabbits as well, controversially. Yeah. I love doing the snake monitoring and the hedgehog monitoring, which we've been driving this year. So we've had youth groups in building hedgehog boxes and
amazing.
Other habitat homes. So we've been trying to encourage the sparrows onto the heath.
Mm.
So there are groups of sparrows on some of the streets that edge down at the... Which part of the...
So it's down the southern end of the heath, say, Parliament Hill.
So we've been building bird boxes.
Nice.
And, trying to encourage them. And we did get them into our little wildlife garden, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah.
So we've been, with the help of volunteers and youth groups, we've been making
trying
our own little wildlife
back.
Sanctuary. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's really cool. And I guess the other thing is, because like you said, Rory, Hampstead Heath, we're trying to get people to feel welcome here, but obviously in doing that, and rightfully so, we get people here, and that must also bring its own challenges as well, from whether it's, you know, people picnicking, swimming in areas they might not be allowed to swim in, a large amount of domesticated animals up here as well, and then also you've just got clashes of people from runners to cyclists. Joe, do you want to tell us a bit about the challenges that brings with your job from I'm going to say sharing the space, but and doing your job side on side.
In terms of my job, it doesn't really impact on me very much. Mm. It's the City of London Rangers that I feel sorry for. You know, they're collecting bags of rubbish when they should be conserving the heath and doing what they do best. So yeah, it's been very frustrating in terms of litter.
Yeah.
People just not respecting the heath. I mean, we've been going out sometimes twice and three times a week, just heath hands, just to collect litter. And we shouldn't have to do that. No. I don't know if people aren't aware of the country code, you know, people who are here that normally wouldn't be here, but because of lockdown, they're here because it's an outdoor space and it's very nice.
Mm.
It just seems so unnecessary that people treat it like, well, like an ordinary park, and it's not.
And it's not, yeah. And is this something that's got worse or more of a thing during lockdown for
Definitely
you guys?
During lockdown. When it rains, we're like, brilliant, it's raining.
Yeah.
We're not going to get groups of people, you know, playing loud music and having illegal parties and doing all kinds of stuff they shouldn't.
But, of course, with it, when we had the full lockdown, all the pubs were shut.
Yes.
Hampstead Heath became everyone's pub garden.
Yep.
And that's when, so people who might be more concerned about what they're doing are less concerned after they had a few drinks.
Yes.
And of course, you deal with the litter after a few drinks.
We've had, I think the other night, we had hundreds of people just in the boating pond of an evening.
Which is
partying.
A conservation pond, right? That's a natural area, or?
Well, I wouldn't say you should go in it. It's full of rubbish, and if they knew what was in there, they wouldn't go in there. So obviously, people are drinking. They come out with all kinds of injuries. Alcohol and misadventure. It's not a good mix.
It's not a good mix. No, it's not.
I mean, it's a good time to say though that probably the vast majority of the Heath's users are considerate, and they do enjoy having the natural space on their doorstep. They can wander around every day like yourself.
Mm.
And it's unfortunately it's the minority who make things leave things in so much of a worse state than they were before, and that we end up clearing up after.
But it's surprising how many volunteers enjoy litter picking. It's incredible. I mean, some of it is very unpleasant, but everyone enjoys everything that we do with heath hands.
And I guess I guess an element of it comes part and parcel of the job. It's, you know, it's like you said, it's Heathland, it's open to the public. There will always be those kind of challenges. I guess aside from litter as well, like you mentioned, at some of the parties and stuff, but that must have an impact on wildlife staying here. If we've got this kind of loud noise pushing it away as well.
Yeah, we don't really know that much, really. Well, it was interesting, one of the groups involved with the Heath and Hampshire Society, they did a study on bats and the Kenwood Estate.
Mm.
So one of the ways English Heritage should be rightly trying to raise a bit more money themselves is to have concerts on the Kenwood Estate.
Yeah.
And of course these are at night time and the bats would naturally come out of the woodlands, feed yeah. over the ponds and grasslands there. And funnily enough, they weren't that impacted.
Oh,
they
that's interesting.
They didn't see a significant impact on the bats. Yeah, it's one of those things that you need scientific studies to really investigate.
Yes,
whether
yeah.
it has an impact. And to be honest, even though the heath is a great reserve area for wildlife, and it is still urban wildlife, and they're used to a certain amount of noise around
point,
themselves
yeah.
in the City of London.
Mm. And as we all know, bats love a festival, so
apparently so.
So we'll move on and talk about the bit of the biodiversity, and we've spoken a bit about this, a few species we have come up now, but Rory, what kind of, and as you just said, there is a lot of urban species up here, but what other species of flora and fauna can we see up here at Hampstead Heath?
So yeah, there's a lot of wildlife on Hampstead Heath, and we've got lots of special species that jewels in our crown.
Mm.
So we mentioned the grass snake monitoring, that's one of the longest standing monitoring programs. That's the closest population of grass snakes to central London.
Wow.
Also have hedgehogs, as Joe mentioned, which is wonderful to have them on site. And ZSL have come around for a couple of years, done some studies, and they worked out Hampstead Heath has the densest population of hedgehogs in London.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And I was just, because my next question was going to be, well, how the hell are the hedgehogs doing? Because we know nationally they're not doing great. Their numbers are quite far down. So that's good to hear that they're dense up here.
Yeah, it's fantastic, especially in a site that's so well used by people. Of course, they are nocturnal, but it's lovely to know that people and hedgehogs can still get along well, rubbing shoulders.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, in terms of wild diversity, I mean, I'm no botanist, I mentioned I'm a bugs man.
Yeah.
And we have over 400 species of beetle recorded
wow.
on the heath, and around 25% of the total spider species in the UK can be found on Hampstead Heath.
25%?
If you know where to look.
That's amazing. And we've just seen
incredible.
Evidence of that a minute ago. I guess we should tell the listeners that. Do you want to tell, because I'll be putting these pictures on social media, of the evidence of the spiders we've just seen on Hampstead Heath?
Yes, yeah. So one of our rarer spider species, and more sensational, I might say, is the purse web spider, which is the closest relative of the tarantula we have in the UK.
Wow.
Now people might be picturing massive hairy spider, I talk to your listeners, and that might put them off going to the heath, but actually it's a really tiny thing. It's about 2 inches long, and they spend almost their entire lives underground, so they're very difficult to detect. But they make this web, which is described as a dirty sock sticking out of the ground.
It is what they look like.
Yeah, well, we were looking at them just now and saying they look a bit more
they did. I if I'm gonna describe it in my Ryan's head, it looked like dried fox crap. That's
yes.
what it looked like
yeah,
to
yeah.
me. I wouldn't
yeah,
have picked
I'm
it up and
it.
Thinking that's a bit of web that is.
Yeah. But this is as well as being really cool because it's tarantula relative, it's one of the rarest species of spider in the UK.
Wow.
And they're very sensitive as well, so because they live underground, they rely on a lack of disturbance, and they also rely on having open habitats that's nice and sunny for them to live and grow, and to have plenty of insect prey. And as well as that, they need the nice sandy soil that the heath soils provide for burrowing.
And it was quite amazing when we were watching, Joe, we said to each other when we were looking at them, once you spotted one evidence of that spider, we kept looking around and seeing loads. But how does that make you feel, being A, it's one of the rarest species in the UK, to work up here and know that they're here as well? Does that kind of make you excited to work in a place like that?
Well, it does me, yeah. I think the majority of people, like Rory, would go, oh, God, you know, where are they?
Yeah.
What, are they going to bite me? So before I start a session, I have to explain about the spiders and say they're going to be terrified of you, you're not going to see them.
Yeah.
In fact, as we've just said, we've been working on that site for a few weeks, and the heath ecologist came down and showed us what we should be looking for, and they were everywhere.
Yeah.
So hidden in plain sight.
Yeah. And it really was hidden as well. I don't think anyone would ever know that, and especially when you're Ryan Dalton and didn't even know that spider was a thing. So I think I've learned double that information today.
Excellent.
So we mentioned a minute ago about snakes. You said that there were some snakes in some of the areas. Are we lucky enough or privileged enough to have all the snake species in the UK here at Hampstead Heath, or are we less fortunate, shall I say?
So, yeah, unfortunately, we're less fortunate.
Okay.
So we used to have, at one time, all the common and widespread reptile species on the heath, which included adders, which I'm sure some listeners will be relieved to hear we no longer have. We haven't had them in decades.
Okay.
And yes, we did have slow worms and common lizards as well. That's unfortunately, they're one group of species that have suffered with human disturbance and possibly, like you say, with more domestic animals, the cats coming in and
the loss of heathland.
And the loss of heathland.
So the actual loss of the heathland itself. Yeah. And what about lizard species? How are we on here? Is it the lack of heathland as well has had an impact?
Yes, definitely. So it's encroachment of brambles and woodlands have taken away lots of the really nice sunny areas that the reptiles would have liked to live on, and that certainly had an impact on what species we have on the heath today. So it's no lizards, no common lizards and no slow worms on the heath. We used to even have sand lizard
really
at one time, but that,
when we say one time, how far back are we talking there?
Pre-1900s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's just a change of environment again. And
absolutely, yeah.
Species.
So it's interesting. We're always talking about Hampstead Heath being within urban London, but actually all of Hampstead used to be a suburb, like a garden suburb of London, until obviously there's urban infilling that's happened decades.
Over decades. Now, there's something I want to talk about in regards to, and I call them, as many people do, just green spaces. So as this is Hampstead Heath, it's a green space of London. Boris Johnson recently announced that he and the government would promise to commit to protecting 30% of UK wild spaces by 2030. Now, this is an interesting one because everyone's wondering, what does that mean? But I guess I ask you both on a personal level, but also from Heath hands. Joe, I'll just start with you. How would you like to see those areas managed? Is it something similar to how Hampstead Heath or other parks that you may know of, heathlands or other different kinds of parks are managed as well? Or what would you like to see that done like?
I would like a lot of the green spaces to be joined up with wildlife corridors. Because one of the things that affects our hedgehog population is, and also the one in Regent's Park, is that you need genetic diversity in order for the population to survive. So, for example, if we were able to get corridor, because you've probably heard about the hedgehog corridors.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. So at the moment, we've been trying to do our bit, open up different barriers to the heath for the hedgehogs specifically, and try and educate the community around the heath as, you know, why that's really important, get schools involved, you know. And so we've been out putting water out in during the day for the hedgehogs, because, you know, we have found quite a few pooly ones, haven't we?
Yeah, in these drought conditions, hedgehogs really suffer.
Yeah, exactly.
It's been bad this year as well. I've noticed as well, one thing is that it has really not rained as much.
No.
As someone that is out in it 5 days a week, when people go, oh, it rained today, I was like, no, it didn't. No, I was out in it. It really did not rain. Even what we've just experienced there, that's not rain. That's barely a shower. But people will be out in that and think that's the rain for the day, but that's not enough. Rory, what about yourself? If you know, the government would commit 30% by 2030, how would you like to see those green spaces managed?
Well, I'm quite a big fan of the rewilding movement and what's been going on at Nepa State. And of course, the heath itself, it's got so many users, including lots and lots of dog walkers, which no problem with
dog
walkers.
I am one of them. I will say that now. Yeah. I am one of them. Yeah, absolutely.
And
a responsible dog walker.
Yes. I like to think so. I do like to think so. As much as the dogs will let me be, anyway.
So it's probably not we wouldn't have free-roaming grazing livestock here controlling the bramble and scrub.
Yeah.
Although we have had sheep in the past.
Yes, and there was talk of bringing them back, am I right? Or bringing back some grazing in some areas?
Yeah, so we're investigating and close off some areas to allow the sheep to graze them, which would be more natural kind of management, which would be excellent. But, so I'd say that, yes, sort of more rural sites than the sort of rewilding model seems to be a really good model. But I would say don't forget the urban sites as well.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the lexicon of is it a park or is it a heath and that sort of thing. And the trouble with lots of London parks is that a park is often viewed as a place just for people to enjoy.
Mm.
And really I'd like to see the default management style being this area is left to grow long for wildlife. Mm-hmm. And if there are areas like sports pitches or picnic areas, then we'll mow them for people. But I feel like the default should be for wildlife.
Absolutely. And I think I've been around a few of London's green spaces this year, and one area stood out to me, and it's a place I've never heard of, never been to in West London, called One Tree Hill Park. Never been there before, right by the canal. And the meadow was all year round, so far still, long grass and lovely S-shapes of wildflowers. And I just thought, who wouldn't want to sit here?
Mm.
Like, you know, you can still come and sit in this park, and there's still tennis courts, but they've got long grass around them. And it's like, you can enjoy this small park with what I was seeing from an insect point of view, masses of biodiversity with different butterfly species, bee species, moth species, spiders, crickets. It was like, this is so, from a small park in West London, if that can happen there, it can happen anywhere. I don't want to sound too much like Frank Sinatra there, but it is that kind of thing, isn't it? My last question to you both, and again, this could be on a personal level, if you, you know, from Heath Hands, is I ask all my guests this, is if you could pass on one bit of advice to everyone regarding the natural world or green spaces or anything, if you could just pass on, everyone's going to hear this one bit of advice. Joe, what would you like to say to everyone?
God, that is a big question. I would like to say lots of things. In particular, I would just encourage people to just stop and look around them. Just look at what you're standing on. Look at how nature interacts with each other, and because we are part of nature. And I think if anything good comes out of this COVID situation, then people have to learn to respect nature and understand that we are part of it, and we simply will not survive without it. Nature will survive.
Mm-hmm.
We won't.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's about time we started to understand and respect different species.
Mm. Very well put. Completely agree. And Rory, for yourself, if you could pass on one bit of advice to everyone, what would you say?
Well, how could I top that? But I'd say is get out there and value your local green spaces and have a closer look at what wildlife is living near you, whether it's insects, whether it's bird watching, because you might be surprised at how much you can see on your local patch, and get involved with recording it as well, because we don't know the value of these places until someone tells us what lives there. So if you are living in London or Manchester or Birmingham, don't be disheartened that you're not in the middle of the countryside. You can still enjoy nature near you.
Absolutely. And I think that's something that people in cities have really come to grasp this year, as you said, Joe, this year. So just because we're in a city doesn't mean there's not life.
Yeah.
Your garden has as much life as most other places around the world as well. It's been an absolute pleasure to have this quick chat with you both about Hampstead Heath, about the species up here, the management, the fact it's not a park. I might title that the episode, Hampstead Heath is not a park with Heath Hands. That's a good episode title. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you both. And to the listeners, if you live in London and you've not been to Hampstead Heath, I urge you to come here and enjoy the space. If you've never been here and you don't live in London, when it's safe to travel and it's, you know, within the bubble, please do so and come and visit this lovely, lovely place. Joe, Rory, thank you very much for chatting to me, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you very much.
Thanks again for listening. If you'd like to keep up to date with the projects and work Heath Hands are doing, you can do so on Instagram at Heath_Hands and on Twitter at Heath Hands. Don't forget you can get in touch with me at intothewildpod@gmail.com or on social media at IntoTheWildPod on Twitter and IntoTheWildPodcast on Instagram. whether you just want to say hello, share some thoughts on an episode, or tell me what you'd like to hear about next. Until next time, keep well, stay safe, and live the good life.